All right, I'm going to ask my wife to head up this way and just right now so that we can thank you together. We appreciate the church here and the kind groups that have come. We've had several groups come. We even had two of your gentlemen come and help us to fix an electrical problem in the old building. And then God chose to move us away from that building and to a new building. And it wasn't them fixing the electrical problem. I just want to note that tonight. But several interactions there with people from your church. And then you support us as one of your missionaries on the field. We appreciate that. We thank you for that. And then I've already been asked several times. Those of you that know me know that I'm not as big as I used to be. And so I will explain that. I was diagnosed in February with diabetes, and the doctor said, you can keep eating cookies at camp the rest of your life, but we're going to put you on insulin, and we're going to do that today, or you can try this diet that I have looked into. And so I tried the diet, and some 60 pounds later, I am not registering as a diabetic in my sugar test, and so rejoicing in that health that God has restored. And so we're just rejoicing in that. My wife, Lori, has had some vertigo issues this year, and we're rejoicing in her healing in that as well. And then the other thing I want to mention is why we're in Wisconsin. My wife's parents were living in Arizona. They were in Wisconsin. Lori was raised, born and raised here in Wisconsin. And they had some health issues come up and were declining in their home. So we had to sell our home in Arizona, move them back to assisted living here in Wisconsin. And we are here basically this weekend of the Labor Day weekend, just assessing them and trying to help make them some decisions for them. My wife is responsible for their finances, and so we are here for that. And when Pastor found out that we would be in the area doing that, he invited us to come to your service tonight. So we just want to give you that information. And then I'm going to let Lori share a testimony about what's been going on with her regarding the fire.
Actually, not so much about the fire as the difficult year I've had. The Lord allowed me to fall while ice skating. I know at my age I should give that up, right? But I had a kindergarten, first and second grade Sunday school class, and that's what they wanted to do for their rewards. All the points they had saved, they weren't interested in my goodie box, my trinkets. They wanted an outing with me. So I took them ice skating, and I was on the ice. I'd skated my whole life, and I was on the ice for about 2 minutes and fell backward and really, really worked this hand over. Thankfully, the Lord is so gracious, I'm left-handed. And it was my right hand. I had some poor medical care initially, and then the Lord worked that out, and I was able to be in a cast for 12 weeks, and I'm getting back the full use of that. And then we had a dear friend pass away totally unexpectedly, the 7th of June, pastor's wife in Wyoming. And the shock of that sent me into a bout of vertigo, and I was hospitalized and am still about 90% most days, and I'm thankful for the improvement. But I tell you all of that to say, through the fall and in the spring, the Lord had allowed me some speaking opportunities, and I spoke from James chapter 1 on count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I know that God is up to a perfecting process in my life, and it's up to me to choose a joyful journey. And so I thank you for your prayers, and please keep praying that they can choose that joyful journey. Thank you.
All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to read some verses here and talk about them briefly, and then we're going to look at the Beauty for Ashes, the fire story, and just share some things like that with you, what's going on. We do want to mention, too, we appreciate your work crew that came out this summer. and the help they were to us in the ministry of even getting the building to where it is, and we'll give some explanation on that. But Isaiah 61, first three verses, says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And I wanted just to bring your attention back to that statement there, that he might be glorified. And we think about all that God has been doing in regards to the fire at Red Cliff and the rebuild and all the things that have been going on, we want to give glory to God. And I shared with you last time I was with you, would have been last fall in the month of September, end of September, 1st of October, shared with you all the things that God had been doing already in the building. And this slideshow that I have tonight is just a rendition of all those blessings, all the things that God's been doing throughout the course of this rebuild. And we've just been seeing his hand so evident in so many ways. And so I want to share that with you tonight. And so as we think about that passage there in Isaiah 61 and talk about beauty for ashes, that's what God's been doing in the camp through this rebuild process and also been doing in lives. This summer, we had 43 decisions for Christ, four of those salvation. The one I like to mention is 10 for Bible reading. We really encouraged our staff. And some of you that are social media people know when I say, do you have a streak? Some of you do. You have an Instagram streak and you do that. And some of you are looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Others of you, I got right here. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we challenged our staff with having a Bible streak for the summer and to do that. And, you know, I rejoiced in three of the staff members being in the Word every day of the summer. And you might say, well, aren't camp staff normally in the Word every day of the summer? No. And so then there were several that missed 2 days, several that missed just 1 day. And so all that happening, and we just rejoice in that. But God makes and gives beauty for ashes. And I don't know what the microphone's trying to do here to me, but we'll get it set there. There, that's a little better. All right. So we'll get started with this. And this slide was not in the slideshow last time I was here. But several of the folks that are here in the building have been to the Old Lodge. This is what the Old Lodge looked like in the summer of 2015. This was taken from a drone that was flying around camp doing videos. And that was the building that we lost. We mentioned in the newsletter, too, that the valuation of that building, it wasn't insured for its total value. And that has been an interesting learning curve, but God has provided. And we're rejoicing that we're in the rebuild process. This is what the staff found on February 23rd of 2017. This is a picture of the burned down lodge. The only thing that's left there that's wood, you'll see there in the picture a giant log in the front. And those of you that were at camp, remember a spiral staircase that was there in the alcove that connected the upstairs and downstairs? And that's all that was left. The rest of it was burned, and then you see some metal left around there. But that's what we discovered, and this picture was actually taken April 11th of 2017 as the snow was melting. We get asked all the time why the whole campground didn't burn down. The whole campground didn't burn because we got 23 feet of snow the winter of 2017, okay? So I don't ever want to have 23 feet of snow again, but that's what God chose to do to protect the rest of the camp. So the lodge basically burned down into a snow hole. If you've ever had a campfire on snow, some of you have, and like you're out snowmobiling or whatever and have a fire, and it burns down in the hole. That's what the lodge actually did. On May 31st of that year, we had to plow the road into camp. There is 5 foot of snow on that road, and we had to plow in to get into camp. And then on June 5th, we had to put boards over the road. I don't know how well you can see that, but there's a river over that guy's head that's flowing across the road, and that's our main road right inside the main gate. And we had some heavier trucks coming in to get ready to take the old building down, and one of them just sank right in that spot. So we had to put these boards across the road so we could actually drive like a bridge over the muddy road. On June 12th, we started counselor training in 2017. It snowed again. That's why we show you that picture. We had a counselor say, I signed up for summer camp, not winter camp. Said, well, it's like Narnia. It's always winter, never Christmas. So that's there, and that's what we show folks. This is on June 15th, 2017. This is the ruins of the lodge. We are looking out of the coffee shop, for those of you who have been there, looking out of the coffee shop into the dining room. And some of your folks that are here have been on work crews working on the tower that we built, the climbing tower and rappelling tower and zipline tower. And they were in this lodge, had meals in this lodge, and this is looking out of the coffee shop. On June 19th, the demolition started. And you can see all the metal objects are just taken with the Traco and thrown over the walls. And they started the cleanup process. And then on June 20th, 2017, this was just the shell left of the building. You'll notice some piles around. That's all the wood that was left, those three piles of wood. And I know that's a bit small there, but that's all that was left of the wood. And then four semi-loads of metal went out of the on semi-trucks out of the campground. On June 21st, they continued the demo. The walls were down at this point. You can see the pavilion now in the distance as you look toward the mountain, and that's the building that we have utilized for everything. That is now our meeting hall, our dining room, our meeting room for staff, whatever we need to do is all in that one building. But we praise the Lord that we had that building to move into so we could still run camp. And we also have a kitchen set up on our basketball court, and it's in a tent, and we have done that now for the last three summers, 17, 18, and 19, so that we could operate camps during the time and also feed work groups during the time of the lodge not being there. On June 23rd, the first major blessing came. You see a jackhammer on that Traco. That jackhammer failed. And then this dump truck that was hauling the debris away from the site was stuck in the mud, and that's you can see that there, and the ground was so wet from all the snow we had. And the gentleman that was doing the demo work for us was doing it as a donation. And Komatsu Corporation, which is a big corporation, sells heavy equipment, they had done deals with him, and they said, we don't want you to stop if you're doing it as a donation. They sent a jackhammer a week later, and then they also sent this dump truck. And those two things were on the campsite and rent-free and provided by the corporation to the camp to use through the contractor that was doing the demolition work for free. A couple cool things about that. One is everything stopped on the 23rd, so we just were down for a week. We had a prayer meeting. The contractor that was doing the demolition work was a believer, but his crew was not all believers, and that's the first time they'd ever had a prayer meeting right there at a job site. And we had a prayer meeting, and then they were back, and they got to use this equipment, and they were as surprised and totally confounded by the blessing of God on this project. So we're just rejoicing in that. July 1st of 2017, the demo was completed, and then on July 19th of 2017, we had a clean building site. And the old building was gone, all the infrastructure that was in the ground was gone. And we get asked about that too, why did you not leave the slab and rebuild the camp lodge on the old slab? The toilets in the girls' room actually melted down into the floor. So the porcelain was so hot that it melted into the floor grains, and that was the end of all that plumbing. And so that's why we had to start completely over. And July 20th, we had some insulated concrete forms arrive. They're called ICFs. You'll see that through the slideshow. Why are we using this product? The company that owns, that sells the product, are believers. They gave it to us at cost. Then our distributor gave it to us at 25% off. So we're getting it for 75% of cost to use this product. And that's one of the reasons. Also, it has a R59 value once you pour the concrete inside the foam. And then you put your siding and sheetrock on it, and your building is done. And so that's why we chose to go this way. On July 26th, 2017, we started the footers there. And guys in the picture there are a couple of guys that came on a missions team from Bob Jones, and they were planning on working at camp. They ended up bending rebar all week. Those of you that have bent rebar know that they got more than they bargained for, but they did have a good week helping us that way. On August 4th, we were ready to pour these footers. Our entire staff learned how to tie rebar. If you've never tied rebar before, don't learn. It's something you can hire done, okay? But if you do have to learn, our staff had to learn, and we tied up until dark and then past dark a little bit with headlamps and things so we'd be ready for the concrete that was going to arrive the next day. And I'm just going to jump ahead of myself and tell you that all the concrete that arrived on August 4th was donated. And so that was a blessing we knew was coming, and then we had to be ready for the donation when it arrived. So that's why we worked late into the evening. On August 9th of 2017, the insulated concrete forms were stacked for the foundation. And on August 14th, those were poured, the concrete into those foundation walls. And then on September 2nd, they started the backfilling process. And that was just to get the interior grading done so we could go on to the next step. But the Lord saw fit to allow it to snow. And that basically shut us down at that point in the middle of September, September 16th. Ladies retreat, it snowed. You can see the snow on the roofs of the building there and on the mountains in the background. And just to give you the perspective, why do we tell you that? The first year we had 125 days, building days, that were snow-free, okay? You got to work on rain days, but you don't have to work on snow days. So this has been an important part of the negotiations with the insurance company, because they said they wanted the building rebuilt with the insurance money in a year. That's 365 days. And so we have used 125 days the first year, 130 days last year, and we're in the process now of about 127 days this year in that building process. So we're coming up on that date, but they have understood because we have kept track of that and talked to them. So then October 12th, 2017, the foundation was backfilled, and that's the way it sat through the winter of 2017-2018. And these are some of the things God did. And I'm just going to point out a few things there. I mentioned the concrete was donated. All the concrete on site was donated. And then we did get our insurance settlement on the 25th of August. That was really interesting too, because all this work that you saw done was basically done before the 25th of August. And that was because of the donations that were given, $102,000 given just to rebuild the lodge, which allowed us to continue to work. Also, the architect and the engineers were working, and they were doing the plans in segments so that we could start the project. We've got our final set of plans this summer on July 27th that were stamped by the state of Wyoming. But had our architect not walked through all that, we would have had to wait till we had that final set before we could have even started. So even the group that came this summer, we wouldn't have been able to have them do any work because we wouldn't have had that final set. And so God's allowed these guys to work through that to help us out. I also want to mention that first summer, the John Hansen's listed there. He was a counselor on our staff in 90 and 91. He shut his business down so that the camp staff, he came and ran the general contracting of the site so the camp staff would be free to do other infrastructure. And those that have been at Red Cliff know since the fire, there's other infrastructure. We have a shower trailer that the camp staff and a board member built so that we could have showers at camp. We had to set up the kitchen in the tent and meet all the requirements of the health department. And all those things had to be done, so our staff was able to do all those things, still run camp, while this gentleman gave of his summer in 2017 to work on the job site. In 2018, in May, you notice this is already 2 weeks earlier than the last summer, or the last time we started work. We were able to drive into camp, and the site's a little wet, and there's still snow in the background you can see there. Then on June 5th, they started the in-floor plumbing. And on June 10th, the fireplace foundation wall. And then the 27th through July 2nd, the interior grading and floor insulation. And then on July 2nd and 3rd, the in-floor heating system. And many ask us, why are you putting an in-floor heating system in a camp lodge? The old lodge we used in the wintertime had a lot of winter camps, and there was a lot of space heaters around. If you were ever there in the winter, you realized that there were space heaters to keep people warm, because all of our heat was wood stoves and fireplaces, and they don't put out a lot of heat except right around them. And so that's why the Lord has allowed us to do this. So we're sharing that with you. Then on July 5th and 6th of 2018, they poured the cement for the floor. And this is exciting too. In that crew that you see there working, there was a Christian contractor who brought his guys up and donated their time to do that. Then we also had a neighbor show up. He was also a cement contractor. He does not know the Lord. And he showed up with his crew. He said, I want to be part of this. And so we had him there for 2 days. And a week ago, he came up to camp, as he's a neighbor there. He came up to camp and he said, I still cannot believe what your God is doing for you guys here. And so we're praying that he'll come to know our God, and that he'll also be a believer through the testimony of all that's going on through the lodge rebuild. This is a picture of 1 year later. You see July 19th of 2017, the clean building site, and then the walls are started up on July 19th of 2018. And then those walls continued through the month of July. And then on July 26th, this is what the lodge looked like. That's the first story. Then on August 1st, those were poured with concrete, the exterior walls, and they do those in lifts, a little bit of concrete at a time, several feet, because they can't pour the whole 13 feet at once because it would blow the foam out. And so they work through that like that, and then they worked on the interior walls for about 5 days, and then they poured the second half of that concrete in the exterior walls. And then all these porch pillars, which will make sense in a few minutes here as we go forward. And all these porch pillars were poured on August 6, 2018. Then there were some fire stairs that needed to be constructed on the building. And those fire stairs were being put in by a volunteer worker here on August 13 through 16 of 2018. On the 23rd of August, the new water line was put into the lodge, but this gives some more blessing of what's going on. After the fire, we had a camper contact us who gave his life to Christ in 1983. There was not even cabins at Red Cliff at the time, just the lodge, the old lodge. And he came to Christ at camp that summer. He sold a business and he said, you know what, nobody's going to give any money to fix infrastructure. So I'm going to give you $25,000 for electrical and water lines. And we have used that money to move the water lines around camp. This is the new line to the lodge, but we also were able to put a line down to the pavilion. Those of you that have been there since know that that's what gives water to the kitchen tent. So we're able to operate where we're operating. Also, we've been able to upgrade the electrical, and I just got an email on Friday, and the electrical company is going to come and move the electrical service from the old place where it was to the back of this new building. And they're going to do that for $3,100, which is really inexpensive in light of all that's been going on. So we're just rejoicing in all that infrastructure that's been done. On August 22nd through September 6th, the fireplace was built. This is really cool because the guy building the fireplace is one of our former board members. Matter of fact, he was on the board after it was founded, like a year later. And he is 83 years old, and saw him last week. I'll show you the last slide we have tonight is him putting the cap on the chimney up through the top of the roof. And he told me, he said, I think we're going to get this done before I'm 85. So he turns 84 in 2 weeks, so I don't think we're going to make it before he's 84, but maybe before he's 85. All right, and then on September 11th of 2018, we had a group come in, and they painted all the foam blocks because they had to go through a winter like that. And so on September 14th, 2018, that's what we had there with the lodge. I know it looks like Taco Bell pink, but you have to know why we chose that color. In 2008, God allowed a hardware store to change brands, and they gave 550 gallons of paint to the camp. Okay, so that was in 2008, so 10 years ago. They gave the paint to the camp. It's been sitting in a heated storage area. We've been using it for different things, but it takes a lot of time to get through 550 gallons. So this project took about 80 gallons, and they were just all poured into a big drum, mixed up, and that's the color we got. So this is what God did in 2018. I'll just draw your attention to a few things. One is the architect. I just want to just thank the Lord for him. He volunteered for the project 2 weeks after the fire. He has never been a camper at Red Cliff. His wife has been to a ladies retreat. His kids have been to summer camp. He still has not been to Red Cliff, but every week he wants to know. He keeps asking, is there anything new going on? Anyway, he's been working for free, and he's the one that walked through the state office with all the plans each step of the way, so that we could get them approved. And I'm just rejoicing in that brother who came alongside us to help in that. You see the other things with the structural engineers working for half price, and the mechanical engineer and the electrical engineer. Yes, that is $100, and he still hasn't collected that. So I might have to change that in our slideshow, but God's just been continuing to bless there. You see the other donations. I referred to Jack being 83 years old. After last year, you saw that picture of the fireplace. He came into the office and he said, here, I just want to donate my labor for that, and just to give it to the Lord. And you also see the concrete. We've had now on campground, we've had about 714 yards of concrete, and the most we have paid is about $35,000. We just paid a bill of about $10,000. So that just shares that with you. Also the flat work donation and then the volunteers. And you see the three-man concrete crew. That's the ones you need to pray for, that they'll come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Then we also had some folks helping us in 2018, general contractors. Our own staff member, Dave Hybor, and then Robert Point. And this is really interesting, too, how God works on this. Robert has been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he has still come to camp and helped with the project. He's still running his business. He has sought some help in Mexico with some alternative medicine, and he said, if God chooses to heal me, he'll heal me. If God doesn't, and so he's been with us. He was even with us a few weeks ago. And that has really helped because we haven't had to hire a general contractor. He's been there to direct and then to help the volunteer groups have some direction as they do their parts. So that's been great. And then donations, about $140,000 has been given just for rebuild of the camp lodge. These are some pictures of the lodge, and I won't take a lot of time here, but all this design was done by that architect for free, and we just gave him our ideas. And the staff had a chance after the fire to put some things together. And so those of you that have been to Red Cliff, there is a major change. The bathrooms are closer to the cabins. That's a blessing. And then the building is laid out such. And then there is two stories. Some of you that you saw the old building, noticed that the addition to the old building was two stories. We realized how much floor space that allowed you under one roof. So that's why the new building is two stories as well. This is what it'll look like from the looking toward the mountain as you drive up to it. And then the two ends, the north end and the south end. And then the back toward the grub stake there. And then I take you to 2019, okay? So bear with me. We're in the right year now, okay? But you had to see all these things that have been happening already, all these blessings that have been going on. So the trusses arrived. These are the trusses for the second story floor. And when they arrived, there was a question about them. And so over the course of weeks, we found out that they were not right. The company that manufactured them had manufactured them assuming that the foam that's on those foam blocks would not be there. So that made the trusses about 5.5 inches too long. And this is a blessing. They were able to write a change order. One of our board members is a professional welder. I know there's probably some welders here in this church. He came up to a site there in Pinedale, and he took and cut the ends off the trusses on one end and refabricated them and did all that on one day. And he did 27 trusses so that they would all fit in place. And so when your guys were there with their crew coming up here in the slides, they actually set some of these trusses. They didn't set any of the refabricated ones, but I can tell you with joy in my heart that all the refabricated ones fell right into place and were set a little later in the summer. This is what we had on May 21st. I know you're tired of snow already. I know it's Wisconsin, so I won't talk about snow anymore. But it did snow at camp 2 weeks ago on the mountain, okay? So if you looked up at the mountain, gypsum had snow on it. Anyway, this spring we had to plow the road on May 21st. And the reason we had to do that is because we had this order coming on May 30th. This was all the red iron, and this is what your crew worked on. And so this was arriving on the 30th, and so we needed to have that road at least dry enough or plowed so a semi could come up to camp. On June 4th, the kitchen beam was set, and that was set there in the kitchen, and that's two guys from Brookside on each end there watching that come in, and the Lord also provided that piece of equipment that was there at camp. And then on June 5th, the bathroom beam was set, and your guys got to see God work in a great way. That crane that's setting that beam was not at camp on June 4th, and we didn't know how we were going to set that other beam over the bathroom because there was too much of a reach for the Traco and the other pieces of equipment that were at camp. And a call was made to a gentleman, and he's there in Pinedale, runs a construction business, and he mobilized, drove it up on a semi to the end of the camp road, drove it up the dirt road, so that he could help set that beam on June 5th with the guys from the Brookside crew. So we're just rejoicing in that. On June 7th, they started to set the trusses. And this gentleman right here in the fourth row is standing right there with that rope in his hand. So that's your crew working there at Red Cliff this summer on June 7th. They're setting the bathroom trusses in. On June 21st, the group had already gone back, but we were able to set all the floor trusses in the dining room. And so this is looking at the fireplace in the dining room, and the floor trusses are going in there, and the bathroom ones are done as well. On July 1st, the second story floor was started, and they started to put the sheeting down. On July 8th through the 12th, the second story walls started going up, and the kitchen trusses were put down. But this is another thing where God worked. We had a subcontractor that we had hired last year to build those foam block walls because they take a little more than volunteers sometimes know unless they've worked with them before. And so we had a subcontractor and we had volunteers help him. Well, he decided on July 1st, he called us and said, I can't come until the 21st. So I'm 3 weeks out, and then I probably won't be able to make it at all. And so the camp staff was a little taken aback because we were ready for him. We actually were expecting him that day on July 1st. And so we had a time of prayer together. And then this crew of guys from IBBI came out. They were with us last year. The real cool thing is they came out the week that the subcontractor was having to do some changes on the first story. So they unstacked the block, helped him do the changes, and restacked the block. And out of this crew of guys that came, the 13 guys, the year before, seven of them had been with us. So seven of them knew how to do the foam block. So they went to work. And this is one of the major reasons we could stay on track with your crew and then this crew. And so they got that those second story walls up, that picture down on your left is the kitchen before the trusses are on, and they're working on prepping that, putting that last piece of red iron up that the guys from your church had worked on, that iron. And then they were working here on the second story walls. I have to say this about them. They're from North Carolina and Georgia, and their clocks never changed. So you'd hear work start at 6 a.m. Western time. And then they would always ask why we serve breakfast so late. So that was fun. Then this is the kitchen floor being sheeting going down on the kitchen floor. And the walls going up. You can see at the picture at the top. And because the bottom floor is Taco Bell pink, you can see where those white walls are going up that were not painted. On July 20th, the second story walls were being finished because we were scheduled to pour concrete on the 24th of July. So there's one of our board members and a volunteer worker putting the last touches of work around each of the window bucks. And then on July 24th, we poured the second story with concrete. And this is the day of the concrete pour. You see the second story up there with workers, and then you see the pump truck there at the bottom. And then the picture that's up on your right is a picture of the reception area where we do registration, and also our coffee shop. And there's only single story there, just the ceiling is much higher. It's 21 feet there to give kind of a lodge feeling. On July 25th, the last load of roof trusses arrived, and they were all brought to camp. None of them were broken, and I don't know if any contractors here, but usually when you get trusses, they usually sometimes break tails or break the tips off. And all of them arrived, all 93 of them, with no damage to them. Then on July 26th, the chimney went up above the second story. And the two gentlemen there are Jack in the baseball cap, who's 83, and his brother John, who is 80. And there's some funny stories there, but John injured himself. Those of you that have done mason work, they will pull cement blocks up on a little pulley. They have a pulley there with a rope, and they'll hook blocks to it, and they'll pull them up. And it's on a little arm that just sits on the top of the scaffolding. And John grabbed the rope and pulled that little arm right in and smacked himself in the forehead. And we had some other volunteers on the job, and they said that that old guy on the scaffolding just duct taped his head. And he had. He'd put a gauze pad on there and put some duct tape around, because he wasn't going to stop, because he had a job to get done. So those are stories that you can rejoice that they didn't fall off the scaffolding when he did that. On July 30th, the porch logs arrived. And then on July 30th, they started to set the first ones. They put four uprights up and then put a top log on. And the top log's called a purling. and are purlins, depending on where you're from, and so that's why it's spelled that way. Mr. Dean's learned a lot of building logo I didn't know before, okay? The chimney continued on up. The chimney had to go 19 and a half feet above the second story, or above the second story floor, so it would be through the roof. Then on August 1st, the east side logs were in place, and on the building there. Then the west and north side logs on the building, you can see them working on the chimney in the background there. Then on August 2nd, they put a log inside. We had desired to have another spiral staircase, like we had in the old building, made out of log. The state's not going to allow us to do that because of fire codes that the new building has to meet. But we decided that we'd still put the log in, and it would be the support structure there for the roof system. And so that is in the reception area, coffee shop area. Then on August 5th, we had a truss crew arrive. And that is the first truss going up on the roof. And then on August 6th, you see them set that group of trusses. And that's where we finished for August 6th. You see that group of trusses up there on the roof. Then August 7th, they continued working on those down the west side. And then on August 8th, they finished those up down to this end and then started the piggyback trusses. I said there was 93 trusses. They were in three parts. Okay, so 93 times three, each truss had three parts that had to be put on. And several people say, well, why'd you have to waste all that space? The reason the roof is so large is twofold. One is the porches are covered now. And we had just one porch on the old lodge that was covered. But this is both stories, so that the roof comes out over both porches, so there'll be a porch on each floor. And then also, because of snow load, we have to build the building for 155 pounds per square foot of snow load. So if we get 23 foot of snow, which piles up to about 10 feet, the building won't be damaged by that. Then on August 9th, they put the south gable on the building. And they also built the north gable of the building on the ground. This is really cool too for those of you that build. They built both these gable ends on the ground and set them up on a staging area that was flat and then craned them to each specific end of the building, and they set right down. They weren't twisted. They were still straight. And some of you know that have been in building that's a pretty big feat, but God allowed us to do that on both ends. So then the front porch trusses going on here. And the last seven trusses on August 15th, which was just 2 weeks ago. And then August 16th, they put the sheathing on the west side. That would be the side toward the grub stake. And on August 17th, they finished the sheathing on the east side. And this is really cool, too. This was a group of guys from a church in Utah, and then several other guys from a church in Wyoming and one in Idaho came together, and their crews worked together. That's why we were able to get the roof on in 2 weeks, because they worked together, and they'd done that work before. So there's the picture of it with the sheathing on. And then August 23rd, that Jack is up there on the roof. You can't see him, but he put the cap on the chimney. I've had several people ask me already what that white pipe is. We get that a lot of snow. So that is the vent pipe for all the sewer in the building. It comes up through the chimney, and it actually is encased in cement and then goes down through the chimney into the building, where it'll be tied into the rest of the plumbing for the vent, but it's all in one place. So the roof only has one penetration with that chimney there. Then on August 23rd, late in the day, we received the porch beams. And these are big beams. They are 18 inches by 3 inches. And they will go from the wall of the building to those logs. And that's where you'll get your porch for the second story there. And then I did share this with you before, and we'll finish with this. Aware of the time, but I know that you needed to be updated on what we're doing out there. It has been crazy busy. We've had a group of at camp and a work group at camp from June 1st until August 23rd, actually. There was still a group there August 23rd. So our staff was there 6 days a week from June 1st to August 23rd. We gave our staff the last week of August off so they could connect and start school and get home school ready and do some of those things. And then we have a group coming September 12th, so in a little less than 11 days, there'll be a group there at camp. They're coming to put the metal on that roof so that it will not take the weather. And so we're going to be able to have it dried in to that point. And then the electrical contractor is working. I mentioned to you the electrical service already. He's also coming in to do the boxes inside and stage some of that stuff out. We had to change the amperage. And I know Jeff and Dick are the only ones that will care about this, but the old service was 400 amps. The new service is 800 amps to meet the requirements that we have to have. So it wasn't like you could use the old one over and you couldn't add to it. It all had to be taken down and then redone, and that's what's going on right now, just so you're aware of that. But these are the anchor truths that God gave us right after the fire. We shared these with our staff. I have mentioned to you before that God used these with our staff, encouraged us. He is sovereign. He is good. He always acts with purpose. He is trustworthy. And he has continued to prove himself all those things through the course of all of that's been going on here at camp. But I want to remind you of the verse I read to you. And in Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says that he might be glorified. And then I want to just take you to one more passage, and we're through. And that's John chapter 11. So if you go with me to John chapter 11, we're going to look at three verses here. This is the story of the raising of Lazarus. And God always acts with purpose. He has a plan. He is not random. Aren't you glad your God's not random? I am. I have some random friends, okay? I have some friends that are really random. Sometimes I'm like, you did what? I don't know if we can fix that. You better just ask forgiveness, okay? So I have the friends like that. Some of you do too, but God's not like that. He always acts with purpose. And I have people ask me all the time, what started the fire? They ruled it as electrical, okay? I would assume maybe in one of those space heaters that was all around the building. I don't know. But if God wanted the building to still be there, would have it burned even with a space heater catching fire? No. Because God's sovereign, he's trustworthy, he's good, he always acts with purpose. If it would have been in his plan for it to be gone, then it would have burned, which it did. But if it wasn't in his plan, it wouldn't have happened. So here we see the story of Lazarus. And he's talking to his disciples there. And then look at verse 4. When Lazarus heard, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Okay? I read to you that verse in Isaiah 61, verse 3, for the glory of God. Here we see that phrase again. Drop down with me, if you would, to verse number 40, 4 down to 40. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And Martha and Jesus had a conversation. She believed in the resurrection. She knew she'd see Lazarus again because she believed. They talk about that in verses 25 and 26. And she's good, but Jesus reminds her here, "If thou wouldest see the glory of God, if thou wouldest believe." And then go down to verse 45. "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." God always acts with purpose. He's not random. He has a plan. His plan for Redcliffe has been this little process. The reason we share this process with you is because it is increasing our faith as we're ministering there. Excuse me. It would have been easy, honestly. It would have been easy to say, well, I'll just have somebody else, some younger guy come and rebuild the camp. Okay? And you might say, well, that had been given up, Brother Dean. Well, there's times when I thought about that. But God acts with a plan. He has a purpose. And He has brought us through this so that we can share with you all the things He's doing to bring glory to Him. And we're not done. We realize that. The process is still large, but we're rejoicing in the fact that we now have a building that is going to be enclosed that we can work in year-round, even when there's snow on the ground. And God is already doing great things in that process. So in that process, He's continuing to bless. But also, He's allowed us to still run camp. So I can share with you the joy of the fact that 4 young people came to the saving knowledge of Christ this summer. All that while all this other was going on. But God be glorified, and as it says there in verse 45, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. So pray with us for this neighbor that he'll believe on Christ. Pray with us that we'll be able to finish the project for God's glory. And lastly, but not least, this past month of August, all the sheetrock's been donated. A company contacted us and said, we'll come, we'll put it on the walls, we'll pay for it, we'll tape it, you'll have to paint it. We'll see you later. Praise the Lord. Okay? All right? Then, no pink. I agree with you there, no pink. We'll buy paint for that. Okay? But that's what God's continuing to do, and I just want to say to you, you're a part of it. Brookside Baptist is supporting us there, and so on the field this summer at Red Cliff, people got their hearts right with God, and we also were able to build to the glory of God, and He continues to provide in miraculous ways for His glory. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the raising of Lazarus that shows us that You do have a plan always, and that's to bring glory to Yourself. Help us as we seek to live for You and to serve You. And God, I pray that You would just direct in lives tonight. God, I pray that if someone is discouraged, that You would, in Your work through their life, just encourage them that You have a plan, You're in control. And You know what You want to do. And we just praise You for that, God, in Your name. Amen.